Hey, what's going on with you guys? It's been a week and a day. Week and a day since you got one of these, so I guess you're going into withdrawals over there. All your Christmas presents, the excitement's died down, you're not as hyped about whatever fucking shit you got, and you're just fiending. Fiending to hear me talking alone for an hour, once a week. Speaking of the alone thing, I've been tossing it around, of having guests more often, and I think that Tucker would be a good guy to reach out to first. I'm just trying to think of PKA people, and I want to get feedback from you guys, who you think I should reach out to as far as who you think I'd be funny to sit around with and shoot the shit with for an hour. I think he and I have good chemistry. If we're really cute together. If either of us were gay, preferably both, we'd be a good couple. But really, all it takes is for one of the stronger of us to be gay and also live in the same vicinity, and you can kind of strong arm someone into being gay. Like if Brock Lesnar was my neighbor and he was gay and he was into me, we would be a gay couple because I couldn't not be his boyfriend because he'd get angry and beat the shit out of me. So really, you just need to be the stronger person in close proximity. And in that situation, it only takes one person to make a gay couple. What the fuck? How did this already get into the weeds this quickly? Get the fucking minute in, like a retard. So Christmas is over, huh? What'd you guys get? Leave a comment with your best present, huh? I got some good shit. I'm going to a number of Blues games coming up, and that's gonna be really sweet. My grandparents got me those. That was probably my favorite, present as far as just the sheer excitement. As far as practicality, like, I'm at an age now. Like, when I was 11, if you got me socks, I'd be like, oh, go fuck yourself. That's fucking ridiculous. I am 11. I don't need socks. All of this is already provided unto me by the parents. And so you're just, that's a gift to them, not to me, And I wasn't smart enough to get that at the time, but I'm smart enough to get it now, 15 years late, I get it. But now I like getting socks and underwear and shit like that, mainly because it allows me to procrastinate laundry even longer. Like when I open up a pack of socks and there's like four really quality pairs of socks in there, in my head I'm thinking, fuck yeah. Now I've added 4 days of socks to my laundry regimen. So now instead of having to do laundry because of socks every, 26 days, now I can go a full month. Or let's be honest, hell, these are nice socks. I might be able to get two uses out of a pair or two of them. That's a little over a month or a long month, 31 days. Who knows? Who knows? So that was pretty dope, getting the Blues tickets, getting a lot of clothes. My brother got this, they call it a hoverboard, but you don't hover. It's basically like a Segway that doesn't have any handles and is a death trap, and I tried to ride it. It's like, for those of you, I think that Amazon had them and they stopped selling them because they were exploding or something. Like they were like just spontaneously combusting. There was something to do with the motor or gyroscopic, whatever the hell allowed it to work, that just caused it to kind of combust, which is a really unfortunate thing in a product. If you hear before you purchase something like, oh, it's an excellent pan, very easy to clean, non-stick. It does combust on occasion, so be wary. That should be the only warning you need. The excellent underwear, like if Modal, that fabric that they make MeUndies out of, that's super soft and great. If there was a little, caveat to the side there that said, super comfortable, it'll keep your balls and your taint dry. But also it could combust, in which case your balls and taint will be exceedingly dry. So I guess they'd be not lying. I don't understand it. It's like a skateboard that you ride sideways. Oh, the reason I was explaining all that is because I'm pretty sure they don't even sell them in the UK right now because they're too dangerous or something because of this combustion shit. And not even that, if it didn't explode or have any warning of that whatsoever, which I'm pretty sure is just overblown, like some jackass put a bunch of M80s under it as a celebration, and ended up, triggering something to make it combust or something, like, 'cause there's no way these things are just shipping out and just exploding into flames. That would be ludicrous. If that's the case, we should buy a lot of these as presents for ISIS. Just ship them over there, drop them off. It'll also make it really easy for us to fucking see them in that, you know, the night camera with the AC-130 where you see them running around, all the goats and whatnot, trying to hide from the high-tech U.S. Air Force as we're just raining hell upon them. It'd be much funnier to watch those videos on YouTube if instead of running around and ducking behind rocks and pretending to be goats, they were just, like, segueing around, you know, struggling, leaning back and forth, accidentally going in circles. It'd be a riot. Oh, what a hoot that would be. Yeah, I tried to ride one of those things, and I, like, my brother was doing it, and he was doing it just fine. He just hopped on, started going, and I was like, okay, this looks really easy. It must be great to just hop on there, and it does all the balancing. But it's against your nature, in a way. Like, when you get on it, you want to be controlling the balance, you know? Like, I couldn't let go enough for it to balance me, so I would get on there, and I'm making little micro movements of my feet and, you know, ankles and angling and whatnot, trying to balance myself as I feel myself on my, you know, upper body swaying around, and that's just confusing the machine, and the machine's like, stop it, I'm made to handle this for you, you just stand still, I will balance you, but I couldn't put that much trust in it, and so I almost fell and cracked my fucking head open like an asshole. How much of an asshole would I look like if the next time on PKA I had to come out there and Woody and Kyle would give a little a prologue to it, like, you know, something really awful did happen recently for the show, and, well, you know, we decided to stick with Taylor in this time of trouble, so, Taylor, go ahead and turn your camera on, or, you know, blow into that tube or whatever allows you to turn your camera on. We're with you in this time, and then it would just come up, and I'd be sitting there like Stephen Hawking-esque, my head leaning against one of those uncomfortable little hard blue pillows on the side of my wheelchair, just... like an asshole because I fucking fell off a swagway or whatever the hell that thing is. Oh man, oh, that'd be humiliating. Trying to like pipe in with comments and whatnot in that Stephen Hawking voice. How have you guys been? Has anyone been purchasing the merchandise? I hope you are enjoying it. Can I have, please, nurse, come over here and wipe me. I have shit my pants again. It is a 4-hour show. It is too long for my feeble quadriplegic bowels. Or I got a little Hispanic there for no reason. I feel bad for people who get paralyzed in, well, of course, all of them, because that would be fucking horrible, but in silly, preventable ways, you know? Like, every time you would hear, like, I don't even know if this was true, but it seemed like every one of my two moms or anything. My parents are straight. Every mom I knew growing up, like my friends' parents and all that, every time we go by a pool, they always had a little story to tell about, oh, have you heard about Christopherson? Hmm? You heard about him? He didn't take the running around the pool seriously. And he also didn't take seriously the little sign that said, don't dive in here, it's 8 inches deep. And he just, you know, hauled off and dove in here, and you wouldn't believe it. Now he can't even, you know, play Game Boy Color anymore. Can't even play his Game Boy Color. You know, what a shame. And so that there's always a scare tactic there. But to be that kid and to have to get, like, it's different. If you're like at a bar in your wheelchair and you're talking to someone and it comes up on how you got paralyzed and you're like, oh, well, you know, I was born like this, or I went to Afghanistan and I got hit with an IED and it, you know, severed my spine, real tragic. Because then it's like, oh, well, fuck, man, like that's awful. Or even more on that side is, oh, man, well, that's really heroic. You know, best of luck to you. But if it was, like, me sitting next to a guy like that, and like, oh, what happened to you? I have a blanket over my legs, like little FDR polio look. I would definitely do that. Hide my little withered legs. he's like, hey, what happened to you? Oh, well, I was riding a Segway around after Christmas, and I fell and, you know, cracked my head open. Oh, you mean those toys that were popular like 6 years ago for 2 weeks after Christmas? Yeah, yeah, that was the one. Oh, man. Well, you know, one foot in front of the other, right? oh, man, I'm goofy today. Didn't get that much sleep last night. I kept waking up to this, what sounded like a fucking tornado right outside my window. We have been getting a lot of tornado warnings and whatnot recently here in the Midwest, which, you know, it's not that bad as long as you're not, right? Oh, what an astute, clever observation, Taylor. It's not that bad if it's not fucking right next to you. Yeah, tell that to the people in Joplin from like 4 years ago. The whole town was destroyed here in Missouri. What else did I want to say about Christmas? Oh, I was shopping. I was doing some shopping at Christmas, like I waited way, way too long to get something done. And my dad was like, he told me, I want this fishing rod for my Christmas gift. So you don't have to ask questions or guess about what I want. Don't get me a tie. Don't get me a shirt. Don't get me a hoodie. Get me this fucking fishing rod because I want this fishing rod. And I was like, all right, perfect. I'm fine with that. So I went to, and I don't know jack shit about fishing. I don't know anything about it. So it wasn't like it said like, oh, I want a Baitcaster X29C with the half pound, double loop reel. It would just be like, oh shit. Okay. Thank God. My fucking audacity just blanked out, and I thought that I lost everything for a sec. But anyway, yeah, I don't know jack shit about fishing, and I went to the store. First of all, dumbass Taylor went to the store a couple days before Christmas, and I went to the mall that had the Dick's Sporting Goods, and so it literally took me, on a normal day, I would have been able to go there, get into Dick's, leave Dick's with the goods, and zoot back home, probably within 35 minutes. It took me almost 4 hours, four fucking hours, 2.5 of which was waiting, as soon as you turn into the mall, it was just, like, lockdown, end-of-the-world traffic just to get a parking space. And so I was sitting there, like, I listened to, like, 2 full podcasts just sitting there, bored to tears, regretting my life, like, why I didn't do this earlier. But I finally get into the Dick's Sporting Goods, and thank God, everybody was in the other sports section or whatever, because there's like the 2 layers. The top layer at Dick's has hunting, fishing, kayaking, all that. And I went to the guy in the fishing section. There's nobody else in the fishing section. Now I know probably because this, you know, tard scared them off or gave such poor information. They just went to a different venue, vendor rather. Went up to the guy and I just had the text out that I had received from my dad because I didn't know what to tell him. Because it wasn't a specific request. It was just, I want this type of thing. And they had that huge rack of all the poles. And, you know, being a guy, I wanted to try and figure it out on my own first. So I walked around for a bit, had no idea, didn't want to fuck it up. Walked over to the guy. I'm like, hey, here's this list. My dad wants this for Christmas. I don't know anything about fishing. Could you give me a hand? And the guy kind of just looks at my phone for a second. Looks up at me. Looks back at my phone. Looks up at me, hasn't said anything yet, and isn't looking toward the rods and reels or anything. He's just looking at the phone for a couple seconds, looking up at me, like I'm trying to fool him into doing something, and then he just goes, yeah, I don't think we got that. Yeah, I don't think we got that, you jackass. Yeah, I don't think we got that. Well, how about you fucking find out, or get somebody over here who knows, because I just waited 4 fucking hours to get into your goddamn store. Not to hear you say, we don't got that. Because I see 200 rods and reels around here, and one of them has to be kind of similar to whatever the fuck this is. So how about you point me in the direction of someone who knows what this is, or something similar. It doesn't have to be the exact thing. I don't even know what this list entails. Do you know what this list entails? Did you just stumble in from kayaking section, and now you're just out a fish out of water here in the fishing section? It bothered me so much. So much. That he would be, like, a little snarky and rude to me on something that's totally his fault. Like, you can at least pretend or go over to your little computer station there and say, oh, yes, sir, let me see. Oh, you want the Fisheroo Scootily-Doo Model 6. Let me type that in. Oh, we're fresh out, you know, sorry about that. We have the Skippy's Revenge over here. It's an excellent alternative. Thank you. I will take one of those. Like, that's all that I needed. It doesn't have to be perfect. And the guy just, it wouldn't have bothered me that much if I hadn't waited that long to get in the fucking store. Yeah, I don't think we got that. Jesus. Oh, drove me fucking up the wall. And, oh, what else did he say? Eventually, he got someone to help me, so it wasn't that big of a deal. I just kind of, politely, I think I was pretty polite, but sometimes you're not the best judge of your own tone in those kind of situations. And I tend to have a tone that is very put-offish if I'm in a bit of a tiff, a bit of a mood, so to speak. So he eventually got me help, and I just grabbed the rod that the dude told me was similar, and I just got the fuck out of there. And the other dude just, I should have been fired. I should have lodged a formal complaint. I'm trying to think of other times that's happened where I've just been at a place of business, and you ask for something that they should have, and they get indignant with you. Okay. This was so long ago. I've told it on PKA before. The way my parents used to get me to go to church when I was little, because I fucking hated church, was that they'd be like, all right, Taylor, if you go to church, if you don't make a scene and start running around screaming, breaking things, tipping over the table with all the coffee cups and the donuts that all the adults stand around and talk about work and socialize before they go in and raise their hands and sing about God for what seems like an eternity. As long as you don't throw anything, break anything, or tear pages out of the Bible again, and, you know, stuff them in your pockets and keep them for no reason, just to throw them away after. I don't know why I did that. God, I was such a little prick as a child. They're like, we'll take you to Taco Bell. You can get whatever you want at Taco Bell. You can get, you can get your chicken quesadilla, you can get your nacho cheese chalupa, and you can get your cinnamon twisties with your whatever soda I was drinking at the time. I don't know. I was a young kid, so I hadn't switched entirely over to diet yet, so probably like a fucking Pepsi. So I would sit there very quietly, just excited the whole time, like constantly talking to myself like, oh man, that'd be real fun if I got up and ran down the aisle right now and, took an extra, when they're passing the communion around, being like, oh, that'd be a lot of fun if I just took a big handful of all these crackers and like four of these little things of grape juice. So I basically got a snack and everybody else is like eating the blood and body of Christ or something. But I get a full on, cracker and grape juice snack, which I did try and I got scolded for. Not even by my parents, by an usher who saw me. It was just like, hey, don't do this. No, this isn't snack time. And they just took it from me. Not so much, like, snatched it away. He stopped me mid-act. So, there's no way you could snatch a small cup full of juice from a child without making a big fucking mess. But he foiled my plans. But I was sitting there thinking, all right, if I just sit still, I'm getting Taco Bell. Sit still, I'm getting Taco Bell. Resist temptation, resist. And we get to Taco Bell afterward in the drive-thru, and I am so excited. I'm so excited. And my dad's like, what do you want, Taylor? And I was like, the usual, Dad. I'll have the same thing I do every Sunday that I don't make a bunch of mischief at church, please. So he orders me my food. And just, how usually when you're ordering at the drive-thru, you'll be like, all right, I'll have a double cheeseburger. And the lady or the guy will be like, uh-huh. Just kind of like a verbal auxiliary to say, uh-huh, like, I am here and I am responding. I understand that the transaction has commenced and we are now in order-taking mode. There was none of that this time. My dad was just like, hey, we need a taco and a quesadilla and a Coke and a chalupa and whatever everybody else in the family was getting. And there was no response from the other guy. So I was, just kind of assuming, they know what they're doing in there. Maybe they're a little busy. You know, that big post-church rush to Taco Bell. I'm pretty sure we're the only people from, like, in our nice church clothes there. Maybe the only people there at all. Like, no, most people go for nice Sunday brunches, but I don't know why the hell I wanted Taco Bell so bad as a child. And right after my dad finishes the whole order and is waiting for the guy to tell him what the total will be. Mind you, we haven't heard this guy's or lady's voice this whole time. So for all we know, they haven't even been listening. We're just sitting there waiting a couple seconds, and this guy comes on and just loudly, just like the, hey, the meat's not ready yet. Hey, the meat's not ready yet. The meat's not ready yet, is what this guy says. He just yelled out there, hey, the meat's not ready yet. Meat's not ready yet. When will the meat be ready, sir? My dad asks. It is like 1 in the afternoon at a Taco Bell. I would think that you would have your meat prepared. Like, when will the meat be ready? And the guy said, 25 minutes. 25 minutes. Damn, it's just like, I'm sorry, Taylor. We're not waiting 25 minutes for the fucking guy at Taco Bell to cook the meat. This grade F retired circus animal sludge that they force through like a showerhead looking thing to make it look like ground beef and then slather it on your gross taco that you somehow insist on or for some reason insist on after church every week. We're not waiting here for 25 minutes. We're going to go to another place around here. I don't remember. I think it was either Mulligan's or some other place. Great wing place. Even better, but for some reason it was still not what I wanted because I got Taco Bell in my head. But yeah, if the guy had said, like, oh, I apologize, sir. First of all, he should have fucking talked right away when it was like, hey, I'll take a taco. Okay, sir, yeah, we'll get right on that. Unfortunately, it's 25 minutes or so till the meat's done. We had a bit of a snafu, a little bit of a mix-up here, you know, a lot of moving pieces at the Taco Bell. We accidentally mixed the mild and the fire sauce in our big bin out front, and we had to have Stacy and Caitlin over there reorganizing it to prevent any elderly people from, you know, shitting their pants from the excitement of something spicy. So yeah, sorry, we didn't put the meat in yet, and it'll be ready soon. As opposed to just, the meat's not ready yet. Like, almost mad at me about it. Like I missed my shift there. Like, they were like, oh, man, like, oh, this guy driving through. Ooh, what, pinky's up for this guy. I want meat that's cooked on my taco. I don't know, it was weird. I'm trying to think of more situations where the person working has just been an absolute, utter failure in life, and they get mad at you about it. What else have I... Oh, there has to be more, because this seems like such a common thing, you know? Because I hate it. I really, really hate that kind of shit. I'm gonna ruminate on that and think about it for a while. Man. I gotta fucking get back in shape. I bet I've gained 4 to 5 pounds in the last week just eating, not even like a ton of garbage, like, oh, like cookies and pies and cakes and shit. Like, I had a couple brownies yesterday, but that was really the only, like, sweets I had in the past week. Like, every time there's a holiday, all I do is just eat a ludicrous amount of red meat and, like, chicken wings and meat that's, like, I rationalize it to myself. I'm like, oh, hey, you know, it's not, you know, look at old fat Aunt Susan over there eating her third piece of pie. At least I'm not like her, right? As I eat my, like, you know, 30th piece of andouille sausage and crab or something like that for a big crab boil, which was delicious this year. Loved it. Shout out to Grandma for that one. yeah, I love, that's like my favorite meal is that big crab boil thing where you throw a bunch of corn in there and little mini potatoes and crab legs and andouille sausage. And then you just boil it in some Cajun water, I guess, like Cajun seasoning water, salt water, essentially. And then you just pour it out on the big counter and you just eat it. You eat it like the same way that if you poured it out on the dirt floor of a hut in the Congo, those people would eat it just famished, just shoving it down your face. Actually, you know what? Those people would probably pay more attention to the corn on the cob, because I don't pay any attention to that. I'm all about that meat when it dumps out, because it's like the way with meals is like, if you have an unlimited amount of steak at your steak and potato dinner, I am not really going to touch my potato because I want more steak. But if there's, like, a piece of steak and one potato, and I finish my steak, it's like, all right, now onto the potato. I like potatoes, just not as much as steak. Same thing here. If you dump out 10 pounds of crab, and there's also some corn on the cob in there, and I'm not going to touch any of the corn. There's a 0% chance. I love that corn. It's delicious, but it doesn't touch crab, so fuck off. Like, you get out of here. You're taking up valuable real estate. And at the end of it, that big pile that once was crab and sausage and corn and potatoes is like just corn and potatoes, and you feel like such a fat, diabetes-ridden fuck for just eating a... Or I guess, no, crab won't give you the beetus, right? Is it red meat that can give you the beetus? No, it's like all carbs and sugar, I think, and yeah, carbs and sugar that get... I don't know. We'll know in, you know, fucking 5 years when I'm having to prick myself every 6 hours or however long it is to make sure my blood sugar's normal. Man, that would suck. That would suck. Actually, you know what? It probably wouldn't suck nearly as bad, because the only time you really know somebody's diabetic is if they take their little thing out and they prick themselves or they test their blood or something like that. So I guess it's like a confirmation bias of like, man, you can always tell those diabetes people, like Wilford Brimley, but really you can only tell when you can see it, you know? Like, you don't know that someone's diabetic just walking around, because I'm sure they just had like a handful of Skittles or something half an hour ago and they're hunky-dory for another 10 minutes, or I don't know the time frames. I don't know. Some of you out there have to be diabetic. Give me some insight. Insight on your beatus lives. Jesus Christ, almost a fucking half hour in and I haven't even touched on anything remotely current event-ish at all. At all. I guess it's because it was Christmas and I haven't been keeping up. I haven't been keeping up with anything at all, what's going on with the news. I know that I've been following, primarily just because talking to Woody on PKA and before PKA and like the talks we have after about politics and whatnot, I've been trying to follow a little more closely because he follows that shit really intensely. And it seems like there's kind of a realization on all the internet forums about Bernie Sanders, and people are finally starting to see that he's not going to get the nomination over Hillary. Hillary is like the corporate queen, and she is going to be backed by everyone who's any the everyone who's anyone of political backers are going to be backing Hillary, as far as, you know, Democrat backers. You know what? I'm sure that they play both sides. I'm sure that those big corporations are like, hey, Hillary, we're going to, you know, wet your clam, so to speak, and help you out with your run here. And they're also going, hey, fucking Marco Rubio, how about I give you a chub with $600,000 and you put that wherever you want, and you make sure that you remember me when you're in office, if you make it, if you beat Hill Dog, which he won't. I'm sure those guys play both sides, but either way, it seems like there's, on the politics, I go to a couple of the subreddits that have politics, political themes on them, and there is no balance, nothing even vaguely reminiscent of a balanced opinion anywhere on that whole goddamn forum. Like, if you stay in the regular politics one, it seems like every article is like, you know, oh man, you know, Bernie Sanders doesn't, you know, wipe more than 3 times after he shits. He's an environmentalist. Or, look at this guy, fucking riding the bus, like a guy who needs to ride the bus, you know, what a hero. Or it'll be like, you know, Donald Trump masturbating at a funeral? ? And then it's like alansalon.com, so obviously it's not reputable in any way, shape, or form. So it's so biased. And then if you like leave and go on the periphery of other subreddits where it's like the really hyper conservative ones, it'll be the same thing, but I mean, obviously I don't think it's as ludicrous because I lean more in that direction, but I still recognize that that's like the equivalent of the extreme left person, of them talking about like, oh, you know, Obama was a complete failure and he's 100% to blame for the problems we have now. He's the one who increased the deficit even more than Bush. And so he's, you know, the real villain in all this. I'm tired of excuses, blah, 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 which I'm still trying to figure out if this is true or not, because I saw a graphic that showed how much deficit has been added to the U.S. national deficit, I guess, by each president, and Obama has a higher count than anybody else combined, any other president combined, which I understand is manipulative, because back in, like, 1790, the president then, like, wasn't spending billions of dollars, you know? So adding up his contribution to the debt, and then the guy from 1816's contribution to the debt, and comparing it as though that's somehow valid to today money is really just misleading. So really, I think it should just be a comparison of like Bush and Obama, but it does seem that Obama's increased it significantly more than Bush, which is not good. Is that true? Is that a real thing? I don't know. I haven't put any effort into it, so I'm not sure. But if it is, then, you know, that's a good point by the conservatives over there. If not, it's just the same kind of misleading, you know, stat that's meant to sound intense, but really it's kind of skewed and meaningless, like the wage gap, where you can just kind of make stats mean whatever you want them to mean. My prediction is it's gonna very soon, when Bernie decided to not be the nominee for the Democratic Party, because there is a 0% chance that he will be the nominee for the Democratic Party. Hill Dog's too powerful. Too many, you know, strong hands behind her campaign. Strong hands behind her campaign. Is that a saying, Taylor? Did you just make that up? That sounds awful, you fucking idiot. Too many manipulative people and, you know, powerful lobbyists and whatnot behind her. Yeah, Bernie's got no chance at all, and people are starting to realize that. And I'm just waiting to see how the narrative changes when, out of necessity, all of these Bernie supporters who have been shitting on Hillary, on the politics forum that leans to the left, Bernie is like the savior, and Hillary gets just as much shit as like most of the Republicans, which is surprising to me. It'll be like, you know, Trump will be getting smashed, Cruz will be getting called like a psychopath or something, and then Hillary is right behind, you know, just getting obliterated and being called a liar and she just, you know, does what's popular. Wow, what a revolutionary thing for a politician. You can't be a career politician and not just do what's popular. Like, you can't. You can't be riding the fringes as a career politician. It's not going to work out like that. It's not going to. You have to follow what's popular. It's not like the most integrity-based move, but it's what you got to do. So I'm wondering what's going to happen when Bernie isn't in, and suddenly Hillary is the Democratic nominee, and all of these people who have been shitting and just smearing Hillary have to come out and make excuses for now. Why she is the best choice. And, you know, and I've heard the same stuff of one thing I hate in those forums where it's like, oh, man, you know, U.S. elections, right? We have to choose between the right wing and the super right wing. You know, we're different than Europe. High fives all around. When it's like, yeah, we are fucking different than Europe. And it's not far right versus the moderate right. You know, Hillary is not a right-wing candidate by any means at all. I get tired of the comparisons to other countries when it suits us, and then when it doesn't suit us, it's like, you know, oh, no, ignore that. Let's not compare to the fact that it's way harder in those Scandinavian countries to actually get in and become a citizen and start reaping the benefits there. You know, let's not compare that to us just wanting to invite lots of immigrants in and then immediately start assimilating them into our potential healthcare system or whatever. Let's not compare that. Let's just compare how, you know, fucking Sweden handles pot or how they handle their healthcare and extrapolate that out, despite the fact that we're like 100 times bigger of a country. It's a little aggravating and seems disingenuous to be comparing us to Europe only when it suits us and ignoring the differences out of convenience as well. I don't know. I think I just explained that. I think I just kind of started a cartwheel into that and then just fell and burned and didn't even articulate a point correctly. So my apologies there. Fuck. I'm not that excited for the political season, but it is kind of, it's interesting hearing someone like Woody's opinion on it, or even you guys who think differently, which is totally fine. I'm not as fucking right-wing as I, you know, as a lot of the opinions I say a lot of the time, because honestly, it's like, I've said this before, like Kyle doesn't get super into the political debates, and Woody leans to the left. And so if, like, it's no fun listening to people kind of banter back and forth when one person is, you know, kind of to the left and the other person is kind of to the right. I'm not even kind of to the right. I am right wing, but I'm not some like crazy right wing guy. And Woody's not some crazy left wing guy. But I think that even he does that, where he'll kind of intentionally increase his left wingerness. That sounds like something George Bush would say. Left wingerness, you know. Mission accomplished. Left wingers have been eliminated. Terrible accent, Taylor, you fucking idiot. I think he, you know, increases that intentionally as well, just to kind of get that nice comparison, which is what you want in a discussion in the first place. You don't want one person being like, you know, I think that we should have a single-payer healthcare system. And everybody else goes, you know what? I think you're right. And everybody's like, you know, I think it's great that we had this talk, guys. That's excellent. That's excellent, excellent, excellent. How about we, you know, all meet up right after this, go down to the local coffee shop. We can braid each other's hair, buy a really expensive muffin, and listen to indie bands while we masturbate each other in a circle. Sound good? Oh, that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, we all agree. No, that's not what you want. That's boring. And so you need some conflict, you know? Yeah, well, that's all I can fucking talk about that. Jesus Christ. And I didn't even... I tried to bring in a fucking current event there at the last second under the auspice of it being something, you know, kind of relevant with politics. But it was not. Not even a little. So now it's on to the questions for this week. All right. It is a little bit related to what I was just talking about. So... I will not, do not mention town names and current school. Okay, won't mention anything about you then. The Campus Conservative. Hey Taylor, I've been enjoying the podcast and could use your advice. As someone who recently came out of higher education, I'm sure you're familiar with the political leaning of most college campuses. Yes, very far to the left. Understandable though, a lot of young people are liberal. As someone who plans on participating in student government during college, how hard will it be being a conservative on a liberal arts campus? A little background info. I come from... Okay, he said, I can't mention town names in school, but I can mention... Okay. I come from backwoods rural Maine in an area hard hit by loss of the paper industry with a density of about 10 to 15 people per square mile. Well, that is not a lot of people. I'm very fortunate to be part of the school district served by... blank, I guess. I don't include this stuff if you don't want me to read it, guys. I'm not sure. An international boarding school that offers free tuition to local students. The district serves seven towns with a total area of about 500 square miles. God, are you gonna like be quizzing me on this afterward? I feel like I need to get pad and paper out. Like this is a word problem. To give you another idea of how rural this place is, there's only about 350 local students that attend the academy. Ooh, the academy! What else do you do at the academy? Learn witchcraft and wizardry? Ooh! It's a liberal atmosphere, but I have become close friends with the Jewish boarders. Myself and two friends are active in local... See, you said to keep the names private, but then just in quotes right after the two friends, you put their two names, and I keep almost slipping up. Are active in local state politics and became the, quote, racists of the school. Keep in mind, Maine is the whitest state in the union after launching an anti-affirmative action campaign on campus. Yeah, that's really, really, really risky business on a liberal campus. Really risky. Yeah, I would say I would put that in the arena of bad ideas just because it's not going to change anything and it's going to just damage your reputation and they're going to think that you're a racist. And that's the buzzword now. All it takes is one person to call you a racist and then you're on your back, your heels, having to convince everyone that you're not a racist, which you absolutely cannot do. It's an unfalsifiable hypothesis that you can, you know, lean against someone that they are a racist. I could say, oh, hey, Kyle, you're a racist. And he can say, no, I'm not. But there's no way for him to convince me not to, even if he, for the next 10 years, is incredibly open-minded and visibly active working in the black community or something. People can still say, ah, he's faking it. Like, you haven't heard that guy behind closed doors. Like, it's like a scarlet letter, so to speak, of nobody wants that letter on them. Nobody wants the scarlet R put on them. So, yeah, I understand what they're doing because it is aggravating to see people get into positions of, I guess just into positions, not based on merit, but based on some lady or dude in HR. Who am I kidding? It's HR. It's a lady. Some lady in HR going down a checklist being like, well, individual 1 has a 4.0 GPA. Individual 2 has a 3.5 GPA and didn't score as well on their testing. Well, you know, the 4.0 guy who did a little better on the test, he's a white dude. I don't know. This black... this black genderqueer, trans woman, trans something, you know, that's gonna look a lot better when we're doing diversity bingo at the fucking office Christmas party. That's what we need. We need someone to fill up all those hard-to-get corners. Like, oh, woohoo, woman, black, trans, and queer. Is that different? Are those different? They have to be different because in their even in their own organization, it says LGBTQ. Is that it? Yeah. So even if that's it, then I'm still right. Q and T are different. So I guess you could be both of those things at the same time. Maybe. Is that all the letters are in there now? Because I thought it was LGBT for a while, but then they were like, you know what? Why not throw in Q? You know, a nice neat package and throw queer in there, just so everybody knows. Which I guess like, queer is coming back. Like, is that's a new okay word to call gay people? Whereas, like, when I was a kid, I thought that queer was like, I thought that was offensive. I don't know. Is any gay listeners out there? Is queer offensive? It's such a like juvenile word. Like, I can't even remember the last time that I was like I heard someone be like, "Oh, you queer!" Like, it's just it's such like a third grade thing to say. I don't know. I always like when I was little, I thought that was on par with like fag or faggot as far as like offensive to homosexuals words are concerned. I don't know. Anyway, I'm taking fucking forever to get through your question. All right. Me and my two friends, they became the races of the school. Maine's really white for launching an anti-affirmative action campaign on campus. He's a better writer than this. I'm just trying to summate all of this. I don't want to have the same experience in college, and a larger school would certainly help me find like-minded people, but jumping into a state school of 40,000 kids would be overwhelming coming from such a small town. I'm looking at smaller schools with less than 3,000 to 4,000 people, but most of them are super left-wing liberal arts colleges. I'm not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination, but schools like Notre Dame... am I not supposed to... Oh, okay, that's not your current school. I don't even know what your fucking current school is. What? Oh, no, that's what it is. Okay, so I skipped that one correctly. The Academy! Woohoo! schools like Notre Dame, Brandeis, it's a Jewish school, I guess, with like 6,000 people, and Boston College, which is Jesuit, have much more appealing student body. Side note, I'm not into the party lifestyle, so the lack of looser women at a religious affiliate school wouldn't bother me. You say that now, good sir. You say that now until you see a couple of those loose ladies traipsing about town with all the goods on display, and then you're going to wish there were more of them. Huh? Huh? Maybe not. I don't know. So if I don't end up attending a more moderate school, how hard will it be being a right-leaning libertarian on a small liberal arts campus? Should I keep my political thoughts to myself, even when most classes will be under 15 students, or wave my flag loud and proud? Thanks, mate. So do not go in there waving that flag loud and proud, because immediately, especially, like, I didn't go to a liberal arts school, and I still encountered a good deal of liberals. I went to a big state school with a fuck ton of people that was very much not like the schools that you listed. And still there were quite a few really hardcore liberals that you had to be wary of. Like if I was in a math class or something and nobody was going to jump up and be like, oh, factors are sexist. You know, why put the masculine looking numbers on top? Like there's some nonsense. Like that's not going to happen. But if you did take like a sociology class that leaned away from the science of social sciences and leaned towards the whole like, oh, well, shit, like we kind of stumbled upon a conclusion here that doesn't mesh with what's politically correct at the moment. So let's push that into the push that on the back burner, not pay attention to it. And let's all explain how that's racist and sexist and therefore couldn't be true. We all know that truth is relegated to comfortable things that are PC, and it's constantly amorphous and changing. It's never uncomfortable, something that you have to reconcile with your beliefs. No! So I would say, based on what I can tell from your personality, which is not much because I've just read a couple paragraphs about you, try one of those smaller schools, the private schools. That also depends on how fucking rich you are, because those schools are going to be expensive. So expensive. I don't know anything. I know that Notre Dame is a pretty penny, and so is Boston College. I don't know about the Jewish school. It's only got 6,000 people in it or whatever, so that's, I would assume that it's pretty fucking expensive. I don't know. I would say do not fly that flag loud and proud, but if an issue comes up in a class and they're like trying to, and they're like, they make you debate something, don't fly under a false flag, you know, stick by your guns and argue your point as best you can. Just don't be surprised when you make a good point and no one is prepared to counter and they go the ad hominem route. And it's they attack you for being a white male as a means of discounting your opinion on an issue that has nothing to do with race or sex. That will absolutely happen. Absolutely, especially if you're at a small school like that. So have fun and be wary of that. All right. Man, that really sucks, dude. That is fucking rough. I would not want to go to a liberal arts school. I can't imagine going to a liberal arts school. Oh man, like not even, I don't know, it's not even the like oh man, you know, watch out, Taylor's hating on the liberals again. Like, it's not even that. It's just, I don't know, I really enjoyed going to a huge school. It was fun. It was like living in a city where I would walk to class every day across this giant campus, and I wouldn't see the same person twice unless I made a concerted effort to see them again for the entire 4 years. Like, because there's just like 40,000 people or whatever there. It's ridiculously huge. I liked that. I wouldn't like the feeling of a liberal arts school where it's basically like a large high school, you know? I like the freedom that a big school gives you as far as not really anonymity, but you can blend into the crowd when need be. Or, you know, something goes wrong with group A that you were hanging out with. Uh-oh, turns out that all the friends I made in the dorm ended up becoming cokeheads my sophomore year. Time to shift over to a different group of friends, you know? You know, it's not like a high school dramatic thing. I don't know. I could be totally off, though, because I also didn't go to a liberal arts school. I'll try and keep this short without telling my entire life story. Well, I appreciate that. You know what? You know that plan that society feeds you your entire life? The same old get good grades in school, go to college, get a job and save for retirement. Are you about to like try and sell me something? I feel like you're leading up. Well, no more worries about that. Today we've got the school, you know, master cleanse or whatever the fuck you're trying to sell. Anyway, well, through the first 18, 19 years of my life, everything was going according to plan. says you're 19, so like 18, 19 years of your life, everything going according to plan. I can just picture you as like a 9-month-old sitting there, like making a checklist, like, yep, starting to get this walking thing down, everything is going swimmingly. fast forward to present day, I'm 19 and confused. I got kicked out of my university. Oh, that sucks. That's rough, man. Oh, man. Got kicked out of my university, sort of a mutual breakup. What? Oh, you fuck right off. How do you have a mutual, you gotta be joking, how do you have a mutual breakup with your university? Steve, we're gonna have to kick you out of the university. You were caught masturbating in the rec building outside of the girls' locker room, and your grades are also very poor. You can't break up with me. I'm breaking up with you. I'm leaving you. We're not breaking up with you, Steve. Steven, we're telling you can't return. Oh, a likely story. Don't try and spare my feelings, university. I know what you're saying. You can't handle us, can you? Like you're breaking up with them. I don't, that's really funny in my head. Everybody's sitting at their computer rolling in their eyes. Jesus Christ. Long story short, chose a major that I ended up hating, along with a couple other minor problems. Minor problems, ooh. Is that maybe a double entendre? Minor problems? Were you raping people, mining for gold? And the whole plan went to shit. My very well-off parents stopped funding me. I don't blame them. And I'm now self-sustaining myself through a next two minimum wage job. Good for you, though. You know, self-sustaining. I live on my own several hours away from home, trying to stay afloat. Life's not bad, but I don't have a future anymore. My plan is to make enough money to take classes from a community college in the summer and try to pick a more interesting field. Who knows if that'll work, though? I guess my question is, what should I do in this situation? More specifically, how do I reestablish a future for myself? Maybe what field do I go into? Do I even need to worry about the future? I know these are difficult questions, but for a 19-year-old living by himself for the first time, any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. So, yeah, that's a lot of fucking questions there, man. What would I do in that situation? What would I do? First of all, if this is your first big fuck-up in life, and your parents just cut the cord, like, I don't know the situation. You said there were some minor fuck-ups in there. I don't know if that means, you know, you threw a party at their house over Christmas break and they got really pissed, or if that means, oh, you know, I have gotten into a couple bar fights, you know, and I got a felony for hitting some dude with a beer bottle or something. Like, there's a huge amount of, there's a huge chasm existing in the middle of this that I'm ignorant to, and so I can't fully give you the best option. But if it's not that huge of a deal and you think your parents are maybe overreacting a bit, of course it's their right not to pay for your college. They don't have to do that. It was generous of them to in the first place, as it is in all situations for the parents to do that. I would say maybe have a long sit down with them, a heart to heart, and express, like, hey, I'm ready to do this again. I'm ready to go in, work my ass off, get this done for real. Just give me one more chance. You don't have to send me back to this university. Just send me to the community college. I'll show you that I'm worth it, and maybe in a couple years, I'll head to a bigger university to round out my college career. But, you know, just send me there. I'll do my best. You'll see. I apologize again. So you could try something like that. Or if you really want to demonstrate your self-sufficiency, then just keep working. Keep working. Constantly look for a better job. It is going to be hard to get a better job without a college degree, because as much as people say, like, oh, college degrees don't mean shit anymore, like, that is true to an extent, depending on your degree, but there are a fuck ton of jobs that you wouldn't expect require a degree that do, and they won't even care what your degree is. It'll be like an entry-level, sales position somewhere, and they'll be like, all right, great, so where'd you get your degree? And you'll be like, oh, well, fuck, I didn't know I needed one. They'll be like, oh, yeah, well, my bad, we only hire people with degrees, and that'll be the end of the road. So it's almost like the GED or the high school degree was 30, 40 years ago, where it was like, you know, you kind of had to have that. Actually, 40 years ago, you didn't even have to fucking have that. Maybe like 20 years ago, you needed that. It wasn't as big of a deal to not have a college degree. As far as reestablishing a future for yourself, man, just for now, don't put any more time constraints on yourself. That's horrible advice. Jesus, Taylor, what the fuck are you thinking? The best way to get out of your rut is to just, like, take it easy and don't push yourself, man. Maybe buy, like, a quarter of pot and just sit around and get ripped. You know, that'll be the best. Like, just, you know, fuck your parents, man. Like, no, don't do that. Do put time frames on yourself. Say, hey, community college is X amount per semester. If I work X amount of time and save this amount per month, I will be able to afford that. And hopefully by doing this, it'll show a good amount of gumption to my parents, who will then be like, all right, he's working his ass off. He deserves a second chance at this. We'll help him fund his full-time college return. That's what I would do, man. Like, that's a rough situation, and it really depends on a lot of these minor problems you're saying, like how much of a bridge has been burned between you and your parents, I guess is the right question. That's what a lot of this hinges upon. All right. Hey, Taylor, I've been a fan of your channel for a long time, and I just wanted to say I love the podcast. Oh, would you look at that? I didn't mute my fucking phone, and there is an emergency weather warning in the area. Woohoo! And now it's on the podcast. So I've been a fan of your channel for a long time, and I just wanted to say I love the podcast. I'm a 19-year-old in my freshman year of university, and there's this girl I like on the varsity soccer team. She's really good looking. I'd say 9.5 out of 10. Wow, that extra 0.5. With an awesome personality, and I was wondering if I can get some advice since you're a bit older and have experience with relationships. Basically, I met this girl through a mutual friend, and I've hung out with her in a group setting a few times by going to concerts and football games. Alright, so just group setting so far. Setting it up casual. Last week, I asked her out on a date, and it went really well. There you go! Good job. The only thing is, she's super reserved, and all of her friends tell me she is super She is super frigid and has never really done anything with a guy. Also, apparently her first time drinking was at their team rookie party last month, which is kind of weird since the legal drinking age here is 18 and most kids start in high school. That is a little odd. Anyways, I don't want to sound cocky, but I was decently popular in high school and did my fair share of partying and getting with girls. Anyway, I really like this girl, and my question is, should I be concerned with her alarmingly innocent persona? Should it raise red flags or stop me from pursuing a relationship with her? I don't drink excessively or do drugs, but it kind of felt weird how she just doesn't have any interest in partying slash fucking, and I feel like it might be kind of boring dating her. Maybe I just need to get to know her better. Also, I'm an American living in Edmonton, so I cheer for the Oilers, which I know is kind of embarrassing, but hopefully we can turn it around once McDavid is back in the lineup. Hey, you guys are doing way, way better than last year. And the year before that, and the year before that, like, you're doing much better. So it's all upward from here for the Oilers, hopefully, because I feel bad for them. Also, I don't mind your Blues. Tarasenko is on fire. Yeah, he is. He's tearing it up. Maybe they'll catch Dallas in the second half and make a playoff run. Hopefully the Blues make a fucking playoff run. I'm getting tired of them making the playoffs every year and then just getting butt-fucked in the first or second round. It's just so aggravating. I do think that we're going to catch Dallas. You know, Dallas is like 8 points ahead of us right now, though, so they got a good lead. But if you look at their stats, so much of their team is contingent on the incredible high scoring of Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Honestly, it seems like it's not a sustainable level of goal scoring success for their team. Like, I like Dallas. I have no ill will against them. It just seems like they are riding an incredibly long hot streak, and that they're not going to like fall off and just become bad, but they are going to drop down, and it'll become a race between Chicago, St. Louis, and Dallas for the top of the division. I think I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I thought that the Penguins were going to be tearing it up this year, and they are not at all. I thought that, you know, oh, I did hear rumors that we could be getting, St. Louis could be getting Evgeny Malkin in exchange for Petrangelo, which I'm not sold on that trade yet. We do need some more goal scoring, but Petrangelo is a pretty, not pretty, exceptional, what a stupid way to phrase that, is an exceptional defenseman. I don't think we want to lose him, especially because our D-core is already arguably the best in the league, us or Nashville. New York, probably third place. Anyway, what the fuck am I talking about? I just went off on a tangent there. So your girl's too innocent. You don't know if she wants to fuck and she doesn't drink much. You're a freshman, dude. You're a freshman, and so there's plenty of time to figure this stuff out. If you want to date her for, you know, a couple months, month or so, if you still haven't had sex by, you know, like a month or two of dating, like, I don't know how you are. I don't know how she is, obviously. I guess she's very wait-until-marriage-y, maybe. But if it gets to be, you don't even have to date. Just take her on, you know, a couple more dates. You know, it doesn't have to be official. Just take her out to dinner a couple more times, hang out, get to know each other better. And if that doesn't lead to you getting with her physically, which is what you want out of this, then just bail. Like, it's not gonna hurt her feelings, I wouldn't think. You know, it just would mean that you guys are in the relationship for different reasons. She wants a companion and doesn't want the sex part, and you want the sex part and the companion part, but, you know, it's half isn't good enough for you, so you gotta skedaddle. Take her out on a couple more dates. Don't make it official, though, because if you actually start officially dating her, in air quotes, and then you break up, it's gonna sever relationships with a lot of the other girls in her friend group, which I'm sure they would be, if you just, you know, took her out on a couple casual dates and didn't end up having sex with her, but made sure that you were respectful and everything, then you would still kind of have an open season on the rest of her friends if they were more into that lifestyle. So give them hell, do your best, and if she's 19, that's way too early to be calling someone frigid. She is probably just inexperienced and nervous about it. That would be my, you know, I'd put 80% of my next, dinner out. What an awful way to phrase that, Taylor. What the fuck? Where were you going in your head? I'd put $10 on that, is what I should have said. I'd put a pretty penny on it. That's what I would wager. She is just immature in that regard, sexually, and socially, perhaps, and she's kind of struggling a bit to get acclimated to this new environment. So, yeah. Anyway, One more of these. Hey, Taylor, I love your podcast. Oh, me too. My name is Ryan, and my social is 4321. Please make sure that these are anonymous and I don't read them by accident. I like how you put in quotes here. That was a joke based on those other people who write in. Yeah, I got it, man. I got it. I got it, Dan. So, anyways, I have a predicament I'd like for you to take a gander at. I'm currently a junior, and I was at a social gathering in which I got fucked up. I drank, like, a bottle of Fireball, and it was a pretty swell night. Ended up intercoursing this volleyball girl I have wanted to sex for a long while. You intercoursed her. That's a real serial killer way to say that. Long story short, we did a lot more the next couple weeks. Have kind of a friends with benefits going on. Be careful. That is a razor's edge that you are walking with friends with benefits, especially if you are friends with any of her friends. Turns out, kinda a bitch. She's really fun to be around when intoxicated or just having small talk in class, but really fucking enrages me sometimes. that's what you should do. Hey, you know what? You're really fucking awful and shrill when you're not tanked, so if you could just constantly stay a little bit lit for me, that would be great. You know, also just keep the talking to a minimum. but really fucking enrages me sometimes. Also, one of those people who has to be constantly texting back and forth. Ugh. Oh, that's stressful. I hate that. Just constantly. About nothing. Where it's like, they text you about the weather, and they ask you some bullshit question at the end, just to make you feel obligated to respond. I hate that. In addition, it's kind of awkward since we sit next to each other in two classes, and we're fighting the previous night and shit, plus she has a fat ass in yoga pants every fucking day. It's like a drug I gotta hit, but after it's like, that was made. What are you saying here? Plus she has a fat ass in yoga pants every fucking day. It's like a drug I gotta hit, but after it's like, that was maybe an error. you went off the rails with a little bit of that. I understand. She's got a nice butt. And it tempts you. She is planning on moving to Arizona soon for volleyball in the next couple of years and to prepare for college or some shit. Oh, it's good to see you're interested. my question is, I'm nervous because it's going to be hard to find another girl I like a relative amount with a fat ass who is down to fuck in our school for all of next year. I actually have an uncle who lives in Arizona in a city like 20 minutes from where she is going to live. So do I go move and see how it goes? I know it kind of sounds like I hated her two paragraphs ago, but she's really cool 60% of the time. You see that? You see that? You talked about how good the sex was, and then once that got out of your system, you talked about her being kind of a bitch. Not 100 words ago you called her kind of a bitch, sir. You called her kind of a bitch and said that she was annoying with texting and that if she's not drunk, she's grating and irritating. And now you're asking if I think you should move and follow her just so you can fuck her because it might be kind of hard to find another chick. No. 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 If this was like an incredible relationship where you loved each other and everything you did, you were just banging on all cylinders, literally and figuratively, banging on all the cylinders. You go to Home Depot and buy cylinders and bang on them. Then I would tell you, you got to think about that because, you know, maybe that's the right thing for you to do. Maybe you get some good old uncle time out in Arizona and you bang this chick for the next year. But the way it sounds to me is that she's moving to Arizona. If you follow her to Arizona and you're not even in love or super into each other, she's going to take that as more of a desperate maneuver to keep fucking her. And that'll turn her off a bit, and it's not gonna continue in this hot, sexy way. Like she'll probably find someone else in Arizona, and you'll be pissed and bitter that it didn't work out. So think about this immediately after you have sex, right after you have sex with her, right after you're done, and all of that, all the demons are out of your system for a little bit. Think about the prospect of being around her constantly. Does it still seem like fun, like a good idea? I would bet $1,000 that it does not, and you should not do that. Definitely not. Thanks. Love the show. Call me a slut. Slut? All right. So that is the end of this week's Truly Terrible. If you like the show, go to the Patreon. The new... I'm doing the fucking $20 plus Patreon meetup. I did one of those last week, but not everybody could make it, and I want to make it so that as many people as possible can make it. So I'm going to be doing another one of those after the holidays. For those of you who are unable to make it the first time, that's $20 and up Patreon. $5 and up Patreon, all of you get the bonus episode, the premium episode, the extra episode, whatever you want to call it. And that will be coming out early this upcoming week as well. So remember to continue to send in your questions, topics, things like that to my YouTube inbox. You can also, if you're a Patreon, put it in the Patreon posting section. And yeah. All right. I love you, and I'll see you next week.